Blog Talk Radio.
Stars Align co-host, the wonderful Dustin Bork. Dustin, greetings, young man. Oh, I don't want to say young, you're older than me, but greetings. Ooh, and we have a very special person on the line as well with us. If you've checked out the website, starsalignshow.com, if you checked out the Facebook page, if you checked out the live chat, everything we've been doing, we've been teasing the heck out of this for, I don't know, what, 2 weeks now? It's called Wednesdays with Wade. That is right. We have the big man Wade on the line calling from the 603, the good old New Hampshire, my old stomping grounds. Wade, how you feeling, man, being on a sports talk show?
I feel great. I'm super excited. I can't wait for everybody to be disappointed in everything that I say.
You know what? I can't either. I know what's going to happen, too, so because I don't know what your sports knowledge looks like. But, hey, we brought you on because we have faith in you. And the first topic actually is going to be something that you might be able to relate to up in the 603, up in the good old Granite State. And that is this Tom Brady appeal process, this Tom Brady whining cry fest about, oh, you guys are being so mean to me, and that Tom Brady's doing right now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a Cowboy-related show. This is an around-the-league show, so stick with us. I know you hate Tom Brady as much as we do, but stick with us. So Tom Brady is, you're picking on me. Robert Kraft is out there like, well, Roger Goodell used to be my friend. I don't know if he's my friend anymore. You have to ask him. And the whole thing is just, like we were talking about in the production meeting, our favorite MTV shows. It's like the real world, man. I mean, the thing is, like, watching it unfold on one of those bad VH1, reality shows almost. You guys get that feeling that this is just way more nonsense than it needs to be?
Well, yeah, there needs to be something to talk about in the off season for sure. So, I mean, but nobody really knows what's going to happen with this. It's a bunch of noise to take up time. You can Google search Tom Brady appeal, and you'll literally get conflicting stories, one right above the other. One headline saying that it went really well, and the other one saying that it went poorly. So nobody really knows.
Well, I think it's still ongoing as well, but and we will get Dustin's take on this in a minute, because Dustin is, in case anybody didn't know this, from the 603, currently living in Florida. Myself, I used to live in the 603, back home in the 518 right now, but this was big news. I know when I lived up there how big Tom Brady and this Patriots team and all the Boston sports are to you guys. Is the general consensus, Wade, that the NFL is the big bad guys up there right now in the eyes of New Englanders? Is Roger Goodell, you know, Satan in their eyes right now? Or are they maybe starting to realize something's up?
Well, I mean, before I upset somebody for thinking I speak for an entire state, I don't know. But personally, I think it's ridiculous. I'm not going to, like, call Goodell Satan, but, I mean, the guy's got no credibility moving forward, even if he were to leave the NFL and try and enter the professional world. he's got no credibility to his name anymore, and Tom Brady is being accused of something that he can't even definitively prove his innocence to, the same way that the Wells report can't definitively prove his guilt. So it really is a giant show.
And, you know, that is what the NFL seems to want to be lately. I mean, they made the Adrian Peterson thing into a show that didn't necessarily need to be a show. Greg Hardy, obviously Ray Rice did something terrible, but that turned into a whole casserole of nonsense. The NFL seems to like to draw these out. They like to have cameras in their face. And if they get the NFL's golden boy involved in a scandal, oh, watch out. I mean, we got a, you know, we have another James Patterson novel on our hands. Dustin,
well, I mean,
your take on
I mean,
I know you're not a fan of him, but what's that, Wade?
Go ahead, Wade.
I was going to say, if with the NFL wanting to be a show, it's just, if you can't see that, then I don't know what else to tell you. Exactly like you said with the Ray Rice situation, and that's the point that I was making as far as Goodell not having a credible leg to stand on. I mean, we're talking about somebody who was caught in a lie, and now he wants to accuse somebody else of lying. I mean, it certainly seems convenient. I don't know.
Well, Dustin, I will get to your take in a minute, but because we definitely want to hear from you. It seems like it's been a lot of my 12-year-old voice and the phone caller. But, Wade, would you say, because I mean, I think what Roger Goodell is doing here is he wants to try to improve his image a little bit. He knows he messed up. He knows his entire front office messed up and how they handled the Ray Rice litigation. Now he wants to come out and say, you know what, I'm going to handle the Tom Brady case personally. I'm, you know, not going to make the same mistakes twice. I'm going to look at all the evidence before I release anything, before I release this. That's why he waited for the Wells report 60 days later to come out before he suspended Brady, because he did not want to jump the gun like did with Rice. You know, he's trying to learn his lesson. Wait, if you got caught in a lie and then it was something that you were really passionate about, but you lied about it for whatever reason, and you wanted to clear your name, wouldn't you do everything you could to make sure the next instance was perfect? I mean, I think that's
right.
You're
right, but he's already not perfect. The new collective bargaining agreement that they just approved says that punishments can't be handed down from anybody but the commissioner, and Brady's original punishment was handed down from his VP, already a violation. So it's already not perfect. He's already going about it wrong. He's sloppy.
And there we go. Wade with the haymakers right now. Dustin, I know you're not the biggest Tom Brady fan in the world. What do you have to weigh in on this?
So growing up in New England as a Dallas Cowboys fan, I got a lot of unwarranted, you know, you suck, Cowboys suck, because to be quite honest with you, the Dallas Cowboys weren't very relevant, you know, the last 10, 15 years, so I didn't understand the hostility. But as far as, you know, hatred for Brady, I don't have it, because to me, all he's ever been is textbook. The only criticism I ever had of the New England Patriots as a franchise was that they were so robotic it got boring. I could predict Belichick's mouth after every game. I could predict every comment that was going to come out of Brady's mouth after every game. It's always going to be, we're on to next week. You know, it's a team effort. I got to thank the guys that were out there around me. You know, I couldn't have done it without them. We're on to next week. You could literally just take that, record it, clip it up, and I guarantee you that's exactly what's going to be said all next season. And I got bored with that because generally guys like us who want to get into media and who want to, you know, look for juicy things, we're not going to get it out of the, you know, New England Patriots. You're going to have to dig deeper and find these type of situations and try to catch them in a lie, catch them in cheating, yada, yada, yada. So
we did.
But the thing I want to talk about – huh?
We've already caught them in a lie with Spygate, and we've already caught them.
Oh my God!
And we've already
Don't
caught
bring
them
up
doing
Spygate. Get out of here with Spygate! Everybody was doing that, and they busted them on a technicality of the rule. People are just recording. They're just recording now up from the press boxes. People still record and take pictures. They just don't do it from the sideline anymore. Get out of here.
Wait, a little firecracker over there. We've also called them being shady, staying within the rules, but being shady. The play that comes to mind, in my opinion,
Chris,
and again, I'm not
Chris,
a...
with that, but listen, with that, and this is me being a good sport, I don't consider any of that being shady. I consider that towing the line and staying one step ahead of everybody else. This whole thing, give me a second to talk real quick. So I want to take this thing back to the beginning, okay? Start at the beginning. Baltimore gets their, you know, gets a little bit sour because I feel like what happened, what?
No, I said you know what play I'm talking about. We have telepathy here. That's pretty cool. All right, keep going.
Okay, so Baltimore gets sour because they get all, you know, they're outsmarted with the line formation thing that happened last year. They started, you know, playing very different looks, pulling a tight end, bringing an extra lineman out. They did a lot of stuff. They outsmarted Baltimore's coaching staff. They got pissed. Then the people are saying that what happened was because they were so pissed off about that, Baltimore knew what was happening with the footballs and the PSI and how they were kind of on to them. So they made a call in to the Colts, Mr. Irsay, who obviously his credibility is, you know, wherever you want to put it. But so this is the timeline. Baltimore's pissed. They're sour because they got outsmarted. They go in. They tell the Colts, hey, keep an eye out for this. Then the Colts notice, okay, maybe there's some justification to this. Maybe there are, you know, maybe the balls are a little bit off on the PSI. Do I think, or do any of the Colts players after the game really think that that had an effect on a beat down? Not at all, because there are a lot of people on the Colts, the players, the coaches, who even said you could have filled those balls up with anything. It wouldn't have mattered. They were going to get the crap kicked out of them because they were not the better team. The Patriots were the better team. So if you look at the timeline, all it is one sour piece of crap after another trying to, you know, because they're so sick and tired of losing to the Patriots and looking at Bill, and Bill isn't sexy in the media. He doesn't say what everybody wants to hear, so everybody gets pissed off and everybody hates the Patriots. Everybody hates a winner, okay? Think about it like this. If you win for too long, people get sick of you. Go to the Cowboys, our Monday show. Cowboys of the 90s, they were America's team. Technically, they still are America's team, but people got sick of them in the 90s because all they did was win. And now, who are people sick of? The Patriots. Dude, I got a little number for you real quick. Patriots are top five as the most winningest team in postseason history. They're number five.
Wow.
They got 25 postseason wins, 8 Super Bowl appearances, and 4 Super Bowl wins. You know the 4 teams that are ahead of the Pats? Packers, 49ers, Steelers, Cowboys, number one. And that's just the playoff postseason wins. But if you go by appearances and rings, the rings obviously is going to be Steelers because they have 6 since the NFL era and, you know, not American Football League. Since the NFL started, the Steelers have the most championships with 6. Cowboys are right behind with 5. 49ers with 5. Packers and Patriots now have 4. So think about it. Over the last 10 years, the Patriots have dominated. They've been at the top of the chain, the top of everything, and everybody's so sick of them because all they do is win. And all it is you're sick of admiring and looking up to the same guys. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm a Cowboys fan for life, but I was rooting for the Pats last year because I cannot stand listening to Richard Sherman bark and talk about how he thinks he's the best player in the league and yada, yada, yada. I will gladly give
man, I wish I had
Tom Brady his 4th ring. I don't care if anybody says they're cheaters, this, that, and the other thing. I will gladly watch Tom Brady hoist up another trophy before I ever want to watch Richard Sherman hoist up another one, because I'm just sick and tired of certain players that talk smack. Sports Nation did a poll. They polled the whole United States. Do you believe the Pats didn't cheat? 37% said they believe they didn't cheat. 63% of the United States of America said they believe that the Patriots cheated. So, you know, the commissioner might not take away punishment due to almost losing his job over the Ray Rice thing, but realistically, I've talked about this with a lot of friends I still have back in New England. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Tom Brady shouldn't be missing any games. And like I told you on Monday, I don't want to play the Patriots without Tom Brady, because if we lose, we look even worse. And if we win, we still look bad because we're beating up on the guys that don't have their starting quarterback.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I really do. And I wish I had the Richard Sherman audio where he was yelling about that 49ers player that we were yelling about Crabtree. I would just play that just to stick in your craw right now. But no, I hear you. I don't like the Patriots because sort of the same reason you were talking about. They're boring. They always win. You know, I get sick of it, but I also kind of respect them. I can't say that it's all a big hate train.
You can do is respect them because you wish that the Dallas Cowboys had that consistency, don't you?
Definitely. Well, of course I do. But the reason why I'm rooting against the Patriots, and we do have to move on. We are up against it. Callers, call in 713-955-0359. Again, 713-955-0359. We had a couple callers weigh in on Monday. A couple were pranks. A couple were good. The chat box is open as well. But the reason why I'm rooting against New England here is simply because of my own selfish desires, and that is that I would
much rather...
To have an
easy road to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I would much rather play New England with backup Jimmy Garoppolo in with our new and improved defense and have a Romo Garoppolo Eastern Illinois quarterback battle than having to play against a PO'd Tom Brady coming back in who's going to play like a man possessed this season in order to sort of salvage his name. I don't want Brady to come in like a locomotive into Texas Stadium and do what he did last time he was there, which was a 48-24, I believe, victory over us. So our opinion generally doesn't matter. We've talked about this several times about how, you know, the fans sort of drive the league. We've talked about this on our Monday shows. We do have to move on, but I thought this was kind of interesting. FunnyOrDie.com went down the Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, which is a pretty strip, and talked to just regular run-of-the-mill guys
who don't watch
about
football.
Tom Brady and what the people who don't watch football exactly. And I think for what it's worth, it's a good piece of audio, so check it out.
I'm here on Hollywood Boulevard looking to talk to people about the most morally reprehensible thing to happen in the NFL, Deflategate. Are you familiar with Deflategate?
That's the football thing.
Did you know that Tom Brady deflated 11 out of 12 footballs so he could throw them further?
Oh, that's right. I heard that.
Do you think 4 games is too much to suspend a handsome man?
I don't think it's enough, actually.
How much do you think the Patriots should get fined?
It doesn't matter. You can't take the championship back.
Do you think that deflating footballs is the worst thing that an NFL player has ever done?
Probably.
Are you offended by the fact that he deflated football?
Very much.
Don't you think he's a criminal?
John, I don't think he's a criminal.
You gotta do what you gotta do to win. He did what he had to do.
But he broke the law.
He still won the damn Super Bowl.
Football is football, so I guess nobody really gonna care.
Tom Brady is deflating gates to get in and flatten balls.
Do you think that Tom Brady is the most immoral player in the NFL?
He's kind of up there now.
Do you believe that any players in the NFL are more morally corrupt than Tom Brady?
They're probably about the same.
Do you think we should keep our nose out of NFL players' personal lives, but definitely dig in when it has to do with football?
Yes.
But we shouldn't even worry about what they're doing in their free time.
No.
Do you think Tom Brady should lose custody of his kids?
Yeah, man, that's the number one thing. If you flatten balls, you should lose your kids, obviously. Here's how you know if it's deflated. If you get two thumbs right here and you punch at the same time, if it moves, it's deflated. Now, this is more like a Tom Brady 1999 Deflategate ball, you know?
You're right. You have it here first. No one's worse than Tom Brady.
I just had to play that. All right.
I'm bringing it up before we move on. I'm bringing it up. The sports science video with John Brinkus that proved that deflating the balls wouldn't even be advantageous for him. It was up for 30 minutes. I actually saw it myself.
Well, so when he's not watching
good
porn,
sports.
He's watching sports games. So, but we do have to move on. Arguably the second greatest quarterback of our era and our generation, that is Peyton Manning. So for anybody out there who knows Peyton Manning, they know that Peyton Manning holds the all-time pass record list, and he holds all sorts of records in the record book. The question that came in to us via the fans and listeners when we asked what we wanted to talk about, and again, if you want to weigh in on any of this, 713-955-0359, the question was, is there any quarterback that we is currently in the league that is going to pass Peyton Manning and his accolades? Is there any quarterback that is currently going to, you know, break any of these records that Peyton Manning has so eloquently set throughout his 18-year career? I have a couple that come to mind, but I've been doing an awful lot of talking. What do you guys think?
Drew Brees? I mean,
he could be on the list. I had another guy.
The only person. I mean, Tom Brady is behind him, but if he's suspended for 4 games, there's that. So
yeah,
good use of time, NFL. Way to go.
And I hope he stays suspended. Dustin, who do you have?
So the way it goes is he'll have the total career yards by the end of this season. I think he's like 1,500 shy. So people are obviously assuming, unless he just, you know, breaks his back the first game of the season, that he's going to break that record, you know, probably by like game 6 or game 7. So he's going to take that career yards record. Then he already has the total TDs. The only guy, like Wade just said, who's even remotely close to him with TDs is Brees with 396. With career yards, it's tough because, you know, Brees is 36, Manning's 39. How much longer is Manning going to play? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people were saying Manning was going to be done after the neck injury and the one and done in Denver, but he keeps coming back. You know, do I think that Manning is going to be another example of, you know, the Favre thing where he doesn't know when to hang him up and yada, yada, yada? No, I don't think he's going to leave us in suspense like that. But Peyton does seem like the type of guy who wants to ride off into the sunset. And it looks like he's going to be very hard on himself if he has to retire off of a losing season or something. So I don't know if he's ever going to stop because of what I just said. You know, it might take a career injury, you know, threatening injury, or a doctor saying, listen, if you continue to play football, your life after football might be in jeopardy. And it might take that for him to, you know, to hang him up, because like I said, it seems like he's the type of guy who needs to be forced out of the league. Now, the thing I do want to let people know is Matt Stafford's only 27 and he's already got 2,200 yards. So you got to think, if Matt Stafford in this new arena ball year, when he's usually averaging high 4,000, you know, low 5,000 yard seasons, it might not take him that long to get up to that 70,000 career passing yards. And the long shot that I have written down is Tom Brady. He's 37. He's got 53,258. So, I mean, a lot of these things, in order for anyone to catch Manning, would have to involve Manning stopping, and then a lot of these guys who are nearing the end of their career staying and trying to break the record. Now, do I think any of them are that, you know, self-centered? And I love Drew Brees, but this is a guy who stayed in the double-digit game that they were winning to try to beat, at the time, Marino's 5,000-yard you know, in one season record. And I think he ended up actually falling like 10 yards short one season, and then another season he ended up breaking it. But ultimately, I think Brady is above him and has like more. And then I think Manning has the most as far as, you know, how many yards in a single season record goes. But again, you know, Manning has the record. He's still piling up stats. A lot of people are saying they don't see him playing past 40, so that would mean that this year is the final year. The funny thing that I think that slightly not related is that Denver was trying to ship him to Houston at the beginning of the season.
We do have a caller, yeah, though. 516 area code, Long Island, Nassau County. That's pretty cool. Another fellow New Yorker. Hopefully it's a real call. Caller, what's up?
How you doing, guys? This is Bill from Long Island. How you doing? This is the first time I'm listening to the show, and you guys make me laugh. That's for sure.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. I mean, the Wednesday show has a little bit more of a comedic edge. Our serious show is on Mondays, but that's good. We got to chuckle out of you. So it's, trust me, it's hard being a fellow New Yorker. It's hard to make a New Yorker laugh. So what's up?
Well, going back to your whole conversation about the Patriots and whatnot, I think you guys missed the boat when you started with the Deflategate and whatnot. The reason we hate the Patriots goes back to the Tuck Rule game in the snow in 2001, where they feel that. I mean, now, listen, if you're really going to go back and complain where we started hating the Patriots from, most of us watching the game thought that Oakland got cheated, and going from there, not to mention that their coach is such a douche in these press conferences, you just want to punch him in his face. And me being a Giant fan, I can respect how good Bill Belichick was because he was the architect of the defense that got us two Super Bowls here in New York. But I think you're missing the boat where it's, you know, sure there's some envy about them winning all the time, but anytime there's any kind of situation where you're bending the rules, breaking the rules, whatnot, it's always them. Why does it always have to be them? It's always them. It's never anyone else. I don't want to hear about bounties in New Orleans. When it comes to rules violations and tiptoeing the line, it's always them.
So
you
caller,
know what?
Let me ask you a question really quick. If this stuff was happening with Coughlin, right, if this wasn't about Belichick and the Patriots, if this was all about the Giants and Eli, and you guys have been winning a lot more. Obviously, you have, you know, two recent ones. But if this was about
who'd
Coughlin,
who did we beat for two recent ones? I forgot. Go
ahead.
What I want to know is that if this stuff was happening with Coughlin and not Belichick and Eli and not Brady, would you be happy with your, you know, your most recent Super Bowl win if it was coming on the edge of a Deflategate scandal, yada yada yada? Would you be one of those guys who's like, I don't care, we got a ring?
No, you know what? That's really hard to say because when I look at this past Super Bowl, I don't see that the Patriots won it. It's more like Seattle lost it. I mean, for goodness sake, I don't want to say it doesn't count that they won the Super Bowl, but after we watched the game, it was like, how did Seattle blow that up? And if that cornerback, the guy opposite Sherman, doesn't break his hand in the first quarter, that game might be a blowout. I mean, Brady did nothing in the first 20 minutes of that game.
No, he didn't. Brady has disappeared, unfortunately, in the last couple of Super Bowls, notably the two against the Giants. Before that, he was the man. He got them there against the Rams and the Panthers. But yeah, he has had a tendency where if you have a hard hitting defense, like Seattle did, like the Giants did in both of their Super Bowls, and you pressure Brady and you're breathing down his neck and the pocket is collapsing around him, he tends to panic. He either goes down or he throws the ball away. But the thing is with Brady, I feel like he knows his age. He knows he has that knee injury. He knows he's not as mobile as he used to be. And he knows that, you know, his team isn't necessarily the best. He's by far not on a star-studded roster. He just seems to make guys better somehow. But the thing is with Brady is he knows he's got to start doing more. But in the back of his mind, can he do more? And when pressure starts getting on him, Brady folds. So I'm not surprised if it's a big capital IF, he did something with this Deflategate and told them to bring the balls down so that he could have an advantage in the rain and the sleet. I would not be surprised if Brady did, in fact, order that and say, listen, do this. I need to get ahead. I got Vontae Davis out there who's been gunning for me. The Colts have an okay defense, but it's bad weather. It's not quarterback conducive weather. Delete some of the air. I would not be shocked if he did. I'm not accusing New England fans. I'm not accusing anything, but I would not be shocked.
No, let's be honest. Let's call it as we call it. He's guilty. I mean, anyone who's ever picked up a football knows the difference between, I don't care about your sports science report or not, you know, you can't get into the mental aspect of a game like, oh, it feels better. You know, confidence and the mental game is such a huge part, and I don't want to take away from Brady's physical skills because, you know, he's, even with this, he's still one of the greatest competitors and winners of all time in the sport. But you know what? Any true craftsman knows his tools, and his football is his tools. He had to know. There's no, he can smile because he's got Giselle on his arm and whatnot and try and sugarcoat it. Oh, woe is me. Nothing. I didn't do it. He did it. But let's be honest. He did it. And you know what? And the fact that it means that they beat him 45-7 that day and they could have played with a ping pong ball or a beach ball, it wouldn't have mattered. But the fact is that he did it, and it's always them. My original point, it's always
very
them.
Very true.
All right.
And if you know how radio works, unfortunately, we are up against it. We have a 90-minute show Monday, hour-long today with another topic left. But
okay. And one more thing before I go, for all the Manning numbers, Andrew Luck in the future. That's all I got to say. Enjoy the show. Good luck, guys.
Very good. Thank you very much for calling. I hope you'll listen for the rest of it and give us a call back on Monday because that was awesome, guys. That was an awesome call. He had a lot of great points. You know, I think giving solid input like that, you know, some guy calls in and he's a complete moron and he's like, oh, you know, rah, rah, Giants, oh, like a lot of Giants fans are, I probably would have cut him early. But he had a lot of great points, a lot of great things that he was mentioning. So, again, very, very good call. Appreciate that. Check us out, www.starsalignshow.com. Check us out on Facebook as well as you're welcome to call back in at any time. Moving on, I am going to get my points in because I'm the only one who didn't give a quarterback name. I like Breeze. I do think Andrew Luck is probably the main name down the road to break Manning's record, and how cool would it be if he did it in Manning's old team? That'd be pretty awesome. But also the Packers, Aaron Rodgers. You cannot deny Aaron Rodgers as well, who's young. He's not that young. He's not as young as Luck, but he's young. Rodgers is another guy I think could do it. As well, and he's got 226. He's not completely out of the universe yet of doing it, and he's got a lot more years left than anybody we've mentioned besides Luck. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, however, we talk about the greats right now. We talk about the guys in the league who, you know, you always want to play with on Madden and the guys who rack up the fantasy stats. And, you know, I think the general consensus right now is besides Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers is – the best quarterback in the NFL right now. That's what I've heard on radio shows, what I've heard on podcasts, it's what I've heard in bars and discussions and whatever. Aaron Rodgers is kingpin. Guys, this is a question. Now, I know all of us are in our 20s. I'm not sure how old the other caller was. I didn't ask him, but all of us are in our 20s. All of us really, I only date back on my Cowboys. I only date back to Troy Aikman. But you look at the greats. Joe Montana, Steve Young, Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino. I mean, just to name some, there's so many. But you look at the greats, quote-unquote, the Hall of Famers, etched in stone. Are the greats today as good as the greats back then? And when I say today, I am counting current players. I am counting Peyton Manning because he is still in the league and he is still in our lifetime and our decade. Oh, I'm also counting Tom Brady. Do these guys fall into the great category and be in the same sentence as guys like Steve Young, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, to name a few? And the silence is awkward. Yes, no, or do you want me to run with this?
I was giving Wade that one, but I don't know if he wants to go.
I don't know. Apparently Wade, you know, I maybe had to take a pee break or something. I don't know. But so
as far as the yesteryear quarterbacks, you mentioned a few, you know, Marino, Aikman, Elway, Montana, Young, Bradshaw. I just feel like the game has changed a lot. So it's pretty clear that it has changed, that it's arena ball and it's more geared towards offense. So as much as I want to say today's quarterbacks are, you know, the better quarterbacks because they're putting up 400 yards a game and they're breaking records and this, that, and the other, I think it's more a product of the changing game. I don't like, you know, I don't like the fact that our quarterbacks get breathed on and they're looking to the ref for, you know, a call, you know, hence Mannings and Brady's, they get even brushed up against, and they're like, are you serious? You're going to let the defender do that to me? So I hate non-Warrior players. I don't like that people consider kickers and punters not real football players, because there was a time when, you know, a kicker would make a nasty tackle and you'd be like, wow, all right, he's more than just a, you know, a kicker out there. He is a football player all around, because as a football player, you got to love the toughness. You got to love, you know, that Warrior mentality of the game. And I think with all this new concussion protocol and safety this, safety that, there is a guy who's on the safety committee right now who said one day he could see the removal of the helmet, the modern-day helmet. He could see that going away because it gives players a false sense of security, meaning players lead with their head because they know that they have this giant thing, shell of plastic and safety covering their head. So I think that eventually the game, unfortunately, I'm worried for it. I'm really worried that the game is on its way to flag football, because all of this concussion stuff is scaring a lot of people away from letting their kids play the game, and then that in turn is going to hurt the brand. I'm talking 30, 40 years down the line. I'm not talking about next year. I'm saying when these guys, just like the 49ers linebacker who's 25 and retires because he doesn't want to put his body through – what, you know, is going to happen to it. So I'm worried about that. But realistically, because I belong to this newer generation, obviously I think our guys are better because it seems like they're breaking all the records. But, you know, to shoot right back at me from the other direction, they're breaking the records because the game is just allowing them to. They're making it more pass-heavy. So if this game was as barbaric as it was back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, when those great guys that you mentioned play, would they be breaking these records? I don't think so, man, because I think quarterbacks would still be wearing a lot bulkier, heavier pads, and it would be a lot harder to have a 300-passing-yard game every game like a lot of these guys put up and four touchdowns. You know, I've brought this up to you in the past a lot about Aikman and the Cowboys. An MVP performance per game for Aikman would have been 240 yards and two touchdowns. Nowadays, that's like, you know, backup quarterback material. The game's changed.
Well, you look at some of these other guys. I call it the Generation X bracket. We got the Baby Boomers, which are the real old guys, the Johnny Unitas, Bob Greasy, Roger Staubach, those guys. But I'm looking at the Generation X bracket, which, you know, Joe Montana, Boomer Esiason, Jim Kelly, John Elway, those guys. The running back, and I know we had, you wouldn't think so if you listened to our Monday show as much as we talked about DeMarco Murray, but those guys all had running backs. I mean, you look at, you know, Jim Kelly had running, but John Elway was Terrell Davis. You had Dan Marino had a running game. All these guys had, you know, you look at Aikman with Emmitt Smith, Staubach with Tony Dorsett. I mean, you look at guys who they didn't necessarily have the load all put on them because it was a run-first game back then, and quarterbacks were there to manage the game. These guys were game managers more than they were superstars, and the fact that they were able to put up the numbers that they put up was staggering, really, to people. They were like, wow, you know, these guys are that all-time greats and whatnot. And I think nowadays, like you said, it is becoming – sort of a toss-it-around league. It's becoming a fantasy football league where all people care about is, you know, 500 yards and five touchdown performances, and that's all people really want to see. But it's becoming – I'm looking at it as the greats are always going to be the greats. I mean, there's games where John Elway just captivated me, man. I was upset because the Cowboys weren't in the Super Bowl, but he just captivated me. As well as, I mean, Dan Marino, I think he's the best quarterback to never win a Super Bowl. Honestly, I do. I mean, the things that guy could do, also being a Syracuse fan, and he played at Pittsburgh. My parents used to come in and say, Dan Marino used to torture us at Pittsburgh when he came in. So I just, Dan Marino, to me, always had something special. I mean, I'm looking at guys, Joe Montana, obviously was huge. I'm only 26, so I remember Steve Young a little bit better than Joe Montana, but still, guys like that. Even Brett Favre, you know, even Brett Favre back in his heyday was just amazing. And you look at guys now, and I think it's the product of superstar wide receivers, superstar tight ends, superstar, you know, offensive lines like what Dallas has, And these guys have a lot more tools. Back then, teams were pretty fair and balanced. Back then, teams were, you know, they had their running game, they had their quarterback, they had a good receiver, and they had a good defense, and they had a good offensive line. And teams that were good as a team. And teams that were bad as a team. And now, it's kind of like you'll have a bad team with a superstar player. And, you know, he racks up all the stats, and the only reason you win more than two games in a season is because of that one guy. And, or maybe two if it's quarterback-receiver duo. So, you know, I kind of got to say that for what football is, and as much as I love football, I've got to say maybe the old-timers might have an edge on us a little bit simply because the game was so brutal, the game was so roughneck, and they didn't have the concussion protocols. You had a lot nastier defenses back then. I mean, look at what Oakland had. And who's that guy who why is the name blanking me right now? The guy who cut his pinky off to not have to miss a game. Things like that. It was a lot more, you used a good word, barbaric back then. Now it's becoming a little bit softer, and quarterbacks know that if a guy is running towards them and reaches out to try to swat the ball, and they get the ball off in time, and he even brushes a fingernail on the face mask, that's 15 yards going the other way. Back then, quarterbacks were getting drilled in the turf and peeling grass out of their face mask, and no one said a word. So I do understand that the game is changing, safety protocols are changing, political correctness is changing, but I got to say the greats are the greats, and the greats now.
Chris, I do want to – let me interrupt you really quick before we let Wade go. I just feel like before this sport is completely destroyed, we have to realize these guys are getting paid millions upon millions of dollars to put their bodies on the line. They know what they're doing when they head into it. Please, please, NFL, safety committee, anybody, if you can hear me, just leave the game alone, all right? If you don't want to put your life on the line, if you don't want to potentially suffer, you know, a scrambled egg brain down the line, and you don't want to suffer any kind of injuries, don't play the game. Don't sign up. Don't register. Don't do what you have to do to become draftable if you're that worried about it. These guys know what they're doing. They've interviewed former players, and they said, if you could go back in time and change what you did knowing what you know now, would you do it? Every single one of them said, no, I'd keep my beautiful mansion, my beautiful family that I got because of this lovely sport, and I would just do it all over again. So I just really hope they don't destroy this game. They don't do away with helmets. They've already girled it up. No offense. I'm sorry. But they've already really, really weakened the game. It's not as barbaric as you said. And I loved that barbaric game, and I love how hard-hitting the game is now. But if they dumb it up even more and they dull it up, I'm really going to be bummed. These guys, trust me, they make millions of dollars. They know what they're getting themselves into.
Very, very true. Wade, are you going to weigh in on this? I do want to say that with the concussion thing, that it is a double-edged sword because guys are afraid of concussions and, you know, you can't hit high anymore. So then you hit low and you're taking guys' knees out. So now they're changing rules about that. And pretty much all you're going to be able to do is just put your hands out and shove them pretty soon. But anyway, yes, Wade, do you have some sort of an opinion on this as well?
Yeah, I have an opinion, and I also have my mute button off, so it'll work when I speak this time. That was neat, huh? You can't throw your voice on radio. It doesn't come through. I tried to throw my voice to Dustin's microphone. It didn't get there. So as far as the game being barbaric,
anyway, keep going.
I missed what you said. As far as the game being barbaric, I agree. It's definitely getting softer, and that's a direct result of science and medicine. And as far as adapting the rules to that, I'm going to have to agree more with Dustin as far as all these players know exactly what they're doing. They know the risks. You're made aware of the risks in Pop Warner, and your parents are made aware of the risks in Pop Warner. So, I mean, if you're afraid of scrambled egg brain, don't play. Just like if you don't want to have that same kind of outcome, then you don't step in the ring and learn how to box. It's the same result. I don't know why it's so different in football. If you're afraid of that, then don't play.
Who's going to play if parents won't let their kids play and all of a sudden high school participation dwindles, then college participation dwindles? Who's going to play in the NFL?
I understand the funneling system.
I would sign up in a heartbeat. Knowing
that,
all the risks and the rewards, they would find plenty of people that would sign up to play in this billion-dollar industry. Trust me.
Yeah,
and
but if you
even
mean
that. Not even special. Not even that. The concussion thing has always been there. I grew up my whole life playing contact sports. You know inherently when you sign your child up for a contact sport, grew up playing hockey and lacrosse. You know going in, there's a risk. Those risks have been there since the inception of the sport. My mother was worried about concussions for me playing hockey and lacrosse, and she still let me play. Mothers are going to be afraid of their kids getting concussions playing football. Mothers are still going to let their kids play. And there are about a billion different reasons for it. But if you want to boil them all away and get down to the nitty-gritty and start talking about money, because that's what the NFL is, like Dustin said, you will always find somebody who is of superior physical quality that is in a terrible situation and will train to get themselves out of that situation so that they can have a better life. And if you tell them that they're going to take a couple of licks on a helmet to get there, then they're all right with it. As far as players back in the day compared to players now, again, I agree with the fact that you can't compare the two games because you wouldn't necessarily see receivers fully laid out 8 feet in the air to try and catch, you know, just not even a touchdown, just to try and get another extra 6 yards on a reception when they know that there's no defenseless receiver rule and that safety is going to come running from 10 yards out and clean them out. They're gonna keep running in stride, and they're going to try and catch it in stride so they can move. So in some aspects, it makes the game less exciting. It makes it more exciting. It's certainly making it safer. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's making it more entertaining. Again, with the point of there's now superstars that help their teams win at least a couple of games, and I think that circles back to what we were talking about in the beginning. The NFL is a show. They need some way to keep at least every team relevant a little bit. Otherwise, when you get those, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars against, I don't know, another garbage team, and no offense to Jaguars fans, but, I mean, they want to avoid those games. So now, teams like the Lions are relevant because they have Calvin Johnson. So that's all I have to say about that, in the words of Forrest Gump.
Janae. I totally hear you. And before, I know you missed what I said because I kind of talked over you a little bit. I tend to do that. I made another Brady Deflategate joke. But for the points of not going on another New England-based rant, I won't repeat it. But the thing with this whole thing, and we've gotten a little bit off topic with the final 11 minutes left to go here, and if you do want to weigh in, again, 713-955-0355.
We haven't gotten off topic because this is all relative, because the game has evolved, which is what is causing a lot of these quarterbacks to break these records. If the game hadn't evolved and had stayed as barbaric and as rough, then a lot of these records I'm calling right now. Chris, you still there?
I am still here. I was wondering what happened with you.
Oh, no, nothing.
I was listening to you, man. I keep going, right?
No, yeah, I told you. I told you what I had
Wade.
To say, man.
Yeah.
You guys hear me?
And, you know, I'm with you. But, yes, Wade, we are loud and clear. You're with us, despite online, you are 100% with us. Hold on one second. Just changing some settings.
No, Roger Goodell is listening, and he shut us down because I was being too mean, even though I said he wasn't Satan. So you know what? Now you're Satan. And you're vindictive, and you're mean. Messing with a whip.
You're mean and vindictive.
You got nothing better to do, Roger?
And kick sand in my eyes. So now this is what we've resorted to on the Stars Align, ladies and gentlemen. We have went from a relatively reputable broadcast to a complete Roger bashing on this program. So again, Roger Goodell, please don't shut us down if you are listening. We would love any endorsements that you may give us as kiss ass as I sound right now. We would totally love for that to happen and for you to do that.
You can be in charge of the no more commercial campaign, Chris. You can be in charge of the no more
commercial. No more commercial. Well,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Speaking of commercials, I'm working in radio myself. I'm not used to talking this long without commercials, so I'm kind of vamping right now. But yeah, Roger Goodell, I think, has made this league a little bit, in the wise words of George Carlin, pussified a little bit. He has made it a little bit safer. But you look at everything's changing, though. I mean, boxing's still pretty much the same, but even UFC is calling fights a lot quicker now than they used to. I mean, a guy goes down on the ground for 5 seconds, they're calling a match. Same thing with WWE. Now, you can reference it, you can yell all you want and scream about that being a real sport. All I'm saying is I grew up during the Attitude Era. You could hit him in the head with chairs. Guys were hitting each other with, barbed wire wrapped 2x4s and stuff. And you can't do any of that anymore because of safety protocols. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in collegiate sports, in pro sports. I just think that people nowadays are a little bit more conscious of that. Not only has the game changed and the opinions changed, but modern medicine has changed. And I think that the greats back then, the Marinos, the Aikmans, the Elways, even back to Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, and good old Broadway Joe, even back then, they didn't quite know what they were getting themselves into. I mean, they came up a little woozy seeing stars. They went right back in the game. I mean, guys now come up and, have a bloody lip and go out of the game for a quarter, some of them anyway. So it really, to me, becomes sort of protocol. I'm used to it. I am adapting as a fan the same way that players are adapting to the new rules. I understand what the rules are now, and I want players to play by the rules because I know it's not going to change. I can be optimistic, but I'm not going to sit here and rally outside games for change. I just want to watch the game, have fun, have a few beers, have some chicken wings, and hope the Cowboys win. That's all I really want to do. Is be entertained and have a Cowboys win a ring before Romo retires. That's all I care about. I think that's all Dustin might care about, but who knows? I'm not speaking for him. Wade, you have been amazing today. We're looking forward to every single Wednesday that we have. Again, Wednesdays with Wade. You can check it out on www.starsalignshow.com. Call us up. We had a great caller earlier. We've been having steady calls. A lot of people are weighing in on this. The chat box is blowing up. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get to a lot of those today. But we will take them into consideration, and we will answer you via chat back once we get off the air. So, again, if you sent us in a message and you are happen to be listening as well, please do not think that we are ignoring you. We are just up against it here with time. So just a quick recap of what we've covered today in this hour, this Wednesdays with Wade hour. We covered Tom Brady. That led to a heated debate that went, a little bit over time from what we wanted it to be, but we talked about Deflategate and
Brady.
Yeah,
but they don't care if it went over time. They don't care if it went over time.
This is radio protocol, I have to say it. Went over time a little bit. We talked about if Brady's a dirty, rotten cheater. We talked about Roger Goodell being Satan. We talked about who's going to break Peyton Manning's record, if anyone is going to break it. And then we had a good discussion about the greats of then compared to the greats of now, and that turned into a whole big, Fox News segment about concussions and probably put half the listeners to sleep. But again, you know what? We do what we can. So Dustin, I gotta ask you, man. With 5 minutes left to go, how excited are you to have Wade back on the on the program? Period.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we came together and we decided that we wanted to offer something that was a little less Dallas Cowboy heavy. So an around the league segment made sense. And I've known Wade for years now, and he's very opinionated just like we are, and he knows his stuff. So it makes sense, you know, to add more entertainment value and add more voices to the program overall. So I'm pumped he's with us, and hopefully we can just hit the ground running in the future.
This could be like a Where's Wade instead of a Where's Waldo type thing, calling in from all over the state of New Hampshire, calling in from all over New England. And Wade is going to be joining us via phone line until we pony up the cash to get him a microphone. He's going to be joining us via phone line, which is fine, which is cool. He sets aside the time in his day to do that. We're also going to be putting together videos. Dustin has been our video guy. He's got a couple up there on the YouTube page. You can check that out. Any emails you want to send us, whether it's hate mail, because, you know, we don't have a problem with hate mail, but if you do love us and you do want to give some comments about the show and feedback, you can hit us at, what's the email, Dustin?
info@starsalliancehow.com, info@starsalliancehow.com.
So, again, if
don't
you're
send
about
me
to...
any. Don't send me any hate mail. I'm too sensitive. I can't take it. If you have hate mail, just address it to Chris or Dustin. Don't call me out, man. I can't do that.
Like most New Englanders, can dish it but can't take it. We are wrapping up here.
Okay, send me your hate mail. Send me your hate mail. Next Wednesday is going to be an expletive in the show. New Englanders just don't get public with it because we can't. Do you have any idea how hard it was for me to go? We're not even an hour in yet. We're not even out of the clear yet, and I didn't swear once.
Well, but that's beautiful. That's what I
that's
have to do with it.
That's why I can't take your hate mail, because I can't swear.
Well, I'm sure we'll get some, and we just won't tell you about it. How about that?
Deal.
Poker. Chips. Let's do it. 2 minutes to go here on the Stars Alliance, Wednesdays with Wade, and just to quickly get this out there, I do want to throw this out for all of you guys right now. Who right now, this second, the caller had a strong opinion about who he thought it was. Who do you guys feel right now, and please don't say Tom Brady, is the best quarterback in the NFL at this current moment as we speak?
Tom Brady.
I hate you. All right, Tuster, what about you?
I literally need 10 minutes to discuss this because it's such a weird way to look at it. Tony Romo. It's not really Tony Romo, but if you're going to force me to throw a name out, I'm going to throw the name out.
Tony Romo. Matthew Stafford.
Well, hey, that's what I asked for. I got what I asked for. I asked for one name, and that's the name that I got. So I'm all for it. I'm all for names, and we can get into this next week a little bit. Coming off of this segment, greats versus then versus greats versus now, we can talk about who's the best right now. Why not? Why the hell not? We need more topics next week anyway. So that's pretty much going to wrap it up. I'm going to give you my take real quick. I'm going to say, and again, yes, I'm hogging some airtime, but I'm going to say based on potential, it's got to be Andrew Luck. Based on overall, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers. I have a love affair with Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I know that I hate the Packers because of what happened to us in that game, but I have a love affair with Aaron Rodgers. And we might also have a little bit of a segment to discuss here. Somebody just walked in we only got a minute left, but somebody just walked in who said that Eli Manning is better than Peyton Manning. We might cover that next week, too, because we want to get Wade's view on that. You're only for about 5 minutes because we all tend to be a little long-winded. So, yeah, I'm talking about you. You know, he's pointing at me and shaking his head, so. Pretty much going to do it here for the Stars Align Wednesdays with Wade. Wade, thank you very much, good sir. And now, please, if you would be so kind, listen to the outro music.
Thank you very much for listening to Stars Align.
I'm a ghost.
Go.